Hallo und herzlich willkommen, lieber Hörer. Das ist dein Daily of the Month. Der Aachener Podcast über Zusammenarbeit für agile Organisationen.
Hola, buenas tardes, queridos oyentes. Este es tu diario del mes, el podcast que viene desde Aachen sobre organizaciones ágiles y cómo tienen una cultura de trabajar todos juntos desde dentro. Bienvenidos.
And welcome back. Here we are tonight, Daily of the Month, coming with our second episode in the second season, our 14th episode. You've heard that right, if you're not totally confused yet on what language we will be speaking tonight. We're here in English, and we are welcoming our international guest, Jara Pascual. The Daily of the Month at the end of the year, we've been kind of reflecting, and we've talked about our retrospective episode, and we've also been kind of reflecting on why we started this thing and what do we want to accomplish with it. And I believe that that's important for tonight, because we kind of, our goal was that we're not satisfied with the status quo of how organizations are working. And we believe, first of all, that we wanted to find out for ourselves how they could work better and how can we get more of a connection inside of an organization to give it more feeling and more life. And we also wanted to talk with as many interesting people as we could and for our learning, but also hopefully you guys out there are enjoying and learning a little bit as well. So in our last episode, we spoke with the designers, the UX designers, so our user interface, and how they work with the developers and the conductors in the organization, and how there are a lot of problems. And we proposed a way that they could be worked together to come up with new solutions and new dynamics within a group, bridging then also different departments in an organization. So today, that is our bridge for today's episode. We are going to get meta on you guys. We're going to zoom out and kind of change the focus of the podcast today. We are not going to be just focusing on the individual role or the organization. We're going to zoom out and see how organizations work together. And in this way, we'll say kind of the guiding question that we were following today is how we can design innovation ecosystems to cultivate healthy economies and create social innovation to create a world that we want to live in. We've brought Jara in today. She's a friend of mine and also a mentor and someone that I look up to. So thank you for coming. And thank you for being there, Jara. Can you give us a short little introduction? And we did ask you also to bring a song with you. Maybe you could use the song as a metaphor to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Joshua. I am very happy to be here with you in your podcast and with Chris. I think it's a very nice honor. And the song, I was thinking, because I like a lot the French songs, like they are very different and very eclectic, and I think I like them because this, and maybe it's a reflection of as well energy.
What is the name of the song?
So the name is Touché Coulé from Elephant.
Okay. Great. We will, in the Daily of the Month playlist on Spotify, you can hear that song, or our listeners can listen to that song. Chris, I forgot to bring you into the circle here. So,
welcome. It's no problem. Jara stepped in and did the job, so everything's cool. Everything's good. Okay. But Jara, I was wondering, do you see any relation to the topic in the song, to the topic of our episode, topic of ecosystems? Is there any comparison that you see?
Well, maybe because they are one woman and one man singing, so it's a group, and they are having like a dialogue. Mm-hmm. And as well, because this group is very creative. Mm-hmm. So even in the video clip, you have these crazy things around with the images and what they are doing in the street and what they are doing with our people around. And this is maybe the thing you can, I don't know, maybe compare to an innovation ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have the balance and a dialogue all the time and play around with people, with the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this could be the link. But it was not in purpose. But if I have to think about this, it could be fun to have this relationship.
Okay, thank you.
So we brought you in for your expertise. What is your expertise in the field of innovation and ecosystems? Or how do you come to that connection?
So innovation for me is my life. I think when I was very young, I remember I was 10, and someone, when we were walking to the school, asked me about, what do you want to do when you are, you know, grow up? And I said, an inventor. I want to do things. Mm-hmm. But at that time for me, it was like television, it was really invented, and it was a very good invention if we look at technically. So for me, it was a problem to find out what we can still invent when I was 10. And even if I was playing building machines.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did engineering. And then again, I was missing the part more like people and the purpose of technology. So when I was joining one elective about science and society and technology, for me, that was the open window to say, yeah, this connection, you know, they have to be this connection between science, technology, and society. It has to be this link all the time. And this is makes sense. So after when I discovered UX and human-machine interaction, then it was the missing piece of people into the technology and how we design technology. Mm-hmm. And new tech. And this is the notion of starting with this kind of collaboration and doing everything together. And if we are looking more in the cities or inside organizations and how the organization, they interact with others, I came up with, well, later, with the collab with platform. And then I was thinking, but this is not only a platform. What I am building here, and discussing with one professor from one business school, he said, maybe here you are doing an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's when I started thinking about, I am not doing a platform for collaboration. Really, I have to think at ecosystem level. And then the whole strategy changed from that moment. And this is a very important point to break here, because if you think only on one way of collaboration or one thing you are doing, you have this limited vision of what you can do and the impact you can have. But if you have the mindset of, no, I am running an ecosystem, innovation ecosystem, then the possibilities are endless. And the same for every individual or inside your organization. So if you are an innovation manager, or you are doing product development or software development, and you think as well as an ecosystem mindset. You can say, okay, who are in my ecosystem? And it's not only network, because network is when you limit yourself to networking or to network. But ecosystem is much more. It's how you can collaborate with your network and you co-create this together as a, at the end, as a community. But you have to think not as a community, but then you can maybe not orchestrate in the direction like it's more structured, like the ecosystem. So first is like ecosystem mindset. And when everyone is interacting among themselves, is then when you have the community. But first is like this structure of I want to do, I don't know, for instance, maybe in a hen. Ecosystem for digital in automotive. I don't know. So yourself, then you create who has to be there to do these things together. Who has to be there? And then you create your own ecosystem. I don't know if it's too technical.
I think I just have to take a few more baby steps. So
okay.
I would like to go back again a bit. You started off with telling us about your organization ColorWiz, and I think maybe the listeners need to understand what you were doing there and what the mission is behind that. You said that you are starting to build up a platform, which later on went to become more of an ecosystem. But what was it in the beginning? So what were you building up the ColorWiz for? What was the need? What was the mission?
So everything started because I was working at Adidas as an innovation manager for IT. And in innovation for me, I had already this kind of mindset of collaboration. So what I was doing as well was to map all the startups out there like could be interested for us in the workplace, in data centers, system integration, client management, all this new technology out there. And as well, I was doing this for academics. So what are the research there? Which kind of project we can do together? How we can go further? Because this is the baseline. When you want to be innovative as an organization or you want to be relevant in the future, you have to understand what is the technology you have right now in the market. Super new, like you can use and plan. Because if you cannot do a brainstorming without knowing what is there, because as a company you cannot invent things. Like that's why we have academics and research centers, and very few corporates they have this capacity, like IBM for instance, to invent things. So then you have to go outside. So and for me this one, it was very time consuming and frustrated at the same time, because I was doing this research, I was calling everyone, and most of the startups, they were dead or zombie. And academics, they were not answering my emails. So then for me, I had as well my Excels with all of this. I said, oh my God, why not? There is one place I can go and find all this information. But this everything started there. I didn't know like that it was possible to create a company at that time, because my focus always was innovation and managing innovation. And then reading books, I discovered like entrepreneurship is like doing business and making money. And I said, oh my God, I have no idea about this. Because I am an engineer myself, telecom engineer, and doing innovation. So there's nothing to do, maybe I was wrong, I don't know, with business, entrepreneurship. So then I keep this in mind, like, what this is this? And then when I changed jobs and I was in the Netherlands, I found again the same problem. I was in another company doing innovation, and we had to look at what is the technology out there, what is the research doing. And I said, oh my God, again, this is... So it's not possible. Like, we can rely only on friends and family, you know, to do innovation.
Yeah.
So this is because then you are missing opportunities, and you are missing the right opportunities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, no, I have to do something. So then I said, okay, what is the missing thing? I have no idea what to do. It was like business. So I joined an MBA, and from the beginning I designed the platform and the whole business plan. And during the 2 years of doing an MBA part-time, I was testing, doing all the assignments for the business. And when I finished the MBA, I quit my job to do full-time. So the platform itself is a marketplace of collaboration opportunities. But as well, you have directories of startups, directories of academics, tech transfer office, and corporates, so the innovation leaders and innovation consultants. I created this platform in the sense, like, it's useful for businesses, but as well for academics and startups. So it's multidirectional. And the purpose is to structure and standardize how we collaborate for innovation. So I was analyzing the whole supply chain of collaboration to see where are the drop-off, where the people are stopping the collaboration and why. And then we designed the whole tech platform to reduce all this drop-off, you know, and how much we can improve the success of our collaboration from the beginning already. Like, it's not too late sometimes. So this, and as well some practical things, like to create your network, you know, my popular Excel list with my list of startups. So it's very easy for you to do your own list of experts, your own list of academics and collaboration opportunities. So then in every profile, because the people there, they are there because they want to innovate and because they want to collaborate. So then already you have people there, they will answer your emails. And every profile is designed in a way that you can see if you want to work with this person and how much cost. Because we had cases that when I was working in other companies, like, we wanted to work with a professor because they had a super cool idea and it was almost production ready, and we want to make it. And we stopped because the professor was not able to give us the cost. And we needed to know how much cost, because we have to ask for the budget, and if everything was super approved, we needed only to say, okay, how much cost? Because we have to request money. And it was not working because the professor was not able to ask for the money. So I think these are small things. And all this, this kind of supply chain analysis, they are all there as a solution and features in the platform to avoid this kind of problem.
So I think that we have an example now of what a ecosystem is, a collab with using your club platform or what you've created is to make an ecosystem. I think this has also been over the last 8 months, so a topic that's been really kind of taken my attention. So I'll just add another example, and then I'll ask you a question. I've been in our city of Aachen. They 4 years ago they designed the Digital Hub Aachen, and this is only one of the hubs in our state. And the state funded it, gave a lot of money, and said, "Okay, well, you get this money if you guys in different cities can come up with, I guess, businesses who are interested in starting this hub. And the hub should be a collaboration between the cities, the universities, and they were really here. In this case, they were really interested in building a startup community. And also, since 66% of the people employed in North Rhine-Westphalia in Germany are working for medium-sized companies. So they were really interested in these companies learning how to innovate, because they came from a region that had been dealt a lot of with steel and coal, and so kind of old industry that is going to, in the next years, fall out. And so to keep this, to stay relevant, I think, to stay wanting to create a healthy economy, they've injected money into the system and kind of came up with an idea. And for me, it was like this idea, wow, it's not about competition right now. They're really promoting collaboration as a way to be better and faster than anyone else. That was kind of what sparked me to dive into this project. And I wrote my master's thesis on this. So I finished in August. And that's where I started reading a lot of your work. And as I started to I got focused on the hub itself and what all the interaction that was going around the hub. And then as I started to zoom out, I could see, oh, actually there's investors, there's the university, there's influencers who are trying to get young people to want to make startups, who are trying to get more money and more invest, people who are willing to invest in medium-sized companies to help them innovate. So that was, and I started to begin to see the ecosystem. So I guess my question for you is, we use this word ecosystem, and it kind of comes from nature. How do you see that relationship, or the metaphor there between the natural system and and then maybe you could answer also, what would be an innovation ecosystem, or what is the point of specifically calling it an innovation ecosystem?
Yeah, if we see as an example of nature, as like we forced to have a new ecosystem, like you mentioned, in Aachen, we can see like in a desert, like you have an ecosystem, but there is not so much there. Well, there are some specific flora and fauna, but we can say you want to make them like a forest or something. This metaphor could be super easy to understand how difficult and how much effort you need to create an ecosystem from scratch. So it's like if you're in a desert, you have to plant how you want to create this ecosystem there, like a forest. You need to plant seeds. You need to make them grow. You have to water. You have to maybe create new technology. Like the sun is not damaging what you are growing up. Like still they can flourish to create the forest. So it's the same thing when you create a new ecosystem for the city. Like everyone has to understand all the efforts to seed everything. Like you have to orchestrate the ecosystem, like the collaborations are there, like you have investors, they are investing in academic research and going to the market, and as well to you have to teach entrepreneurship, you have to teach innovation, and you have to provide all the knowledge needed to make business at the end. So like the MBA I did. So they have to know about legal, finance, accounting, and they have to know marketing, social media. They have to know how to sell. They have to not only this knowledge about in both in every direction, but as well you have to orchestrate this kind of collaborations between startups and SMEs, or SMEs and corporates, and as well with the investors. And this is a way like the city maybe of Aachen is doing the leadership to bring all these people together to transform the local industry from more industrial to more digital. And this is a transformation. And a transformation in the mindset, a transformation in the way of working, in transformation of more collaboration, and in the transformation, like, investor is, now they have to think in a different way. It's not only to invest in a factory, and then you make things and you sell things. Here in digital, it's completely different. So they have as well to understand if they are ready to invest in a completely different type of business. And as well, the ratio of return of investment and the ratio they have in all the numbers of investment, they will be completely different. So they have to know. And the valuations as well, there will be completely different calculation. So all this knowledge has to be provided to the ecosystem. And as well, everyone has to know why we are creating this ecosystem. What is the purpose? Why so important? And as well, they have to understand if they will be a benefit from Germany as well, because we are talking about Aachen, but Aachen is part of Germany, which is part of Europe, which is part of our planet Earth. So the point is, like, how far you want to become as an ecosystem, like to be close or to be open, or like every business is only for local benefit, or is born global. And this is part as well of thinking out the future. And this is one part of the foresight for innovation. And as well, looking at innovation not only as a technology, but as well as a social innovation. So ideas to change this mindset has to be very welcome as well. Not only doing some kind of robotics or only doing some kind of platforms or apps or some kind of other digital transformation is fine, but as well the social entrepreneurship or other type of process ideas has to be as well accepted in the ecosystem. So an ecosystem, we can say, is a group of individuals, like they interact between each other to make a positive impact for the ecosystem.
But this sounds like a group to me, right? There's a group of individuals and they're working together because they have a common goal. I'm still struggling to get the difference to the ecosystem. I understand platform would be more like, okay, we make some connections or here are some contacts and now go out and play. And environment and the ecosystem idea is a more holistic idea, as I understand And I try to make notes in my head while you were speaking. What are the activities that you as a, let's say, ecosystem conductor are doing? Much of the things I heard were about bringing knowledge. So really missing information seems to be a big part. And what else is there beside information?
So one point, and this is basic as well for innovation, the flow of information has to go from every direction. And this is like breaking silos. And this is as well related to organizations and is related to ecosystems in cities or virtual ecosystems. People have to be connected with everyone, like cannot be silos or groups here and they're very close, because if not, it's not working. So information has to flow. What they are doing this? Who is doing this? Who is expert on this? This information has to be clear. Then the other activities is like bring people together. So everything super creative you can do to bring people together is the most effective. So I remember, well, now with the collab with, we are doing this weekly innovation teas to bring people together randomly to meet. We are doing as well the webinars and the workshops, and there they are coming people, and the webinars and the workshops are designed to be super interactive. So because when you have a connection with a person is when you can then easily connect the dots and collaborate.
Ah, do I understand you correctly that the meetups are not only, say, mission-based, but really, I think you said randomly that, like, without a common mission, you say, it's good that you get to meet other people of our whole environment. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I like the German approach from Stammtisch. You know, like you have a Stammtisch regularly in a very structured way every Thursday, first Thursday of every month, every second Monday of every month, you know, and you have a thematic Stammtisch. I think this concept is very important for the ecosystem because it's breaking the silos and it's bringing people together. And this is very important. You can, I think from my perspective, one topic could be innovation. How to innovate, how you innovate, how we can innovate together. Could be as well very informal, like, why not we can in every meetup or Stammtisch or other, like bringing people together activity, you solve a challenge from one of the members, for instance. You know, you can be creative, but you have to bring people together. As the match, you can do this online or physically, is the better for the ecosystem.
Yeah.
And as well, the others is how to transfer knowledge to the ecosystem. So office hours, like webinars, workshops, seminars, conferences, but as well informal ways of transfer knowledge, like could be with social media, with the focus not to entertain, but to the focus to give knowledge, to provide the knowledge the community needs. And then it's when you analyze your ecosystem and you say, okay, what is the knowledge they need to know, this kind of ecosystem? What is the connectors of knowledge they need? For instance, in this digital hub in Aachen, well, the people, they have to know what is digitalization first. They have to learn how to program. They have to learn how to collaborate with UX, with software architecture, with enterprise architecture, with software development. They have to interact maybe with philosophers and psychologists to know how to design technology from a different perspective. So how to be agile, for instance. So this kind of knowledge has to be there if there's a digital ecosystem, you know, like they have to do digital things. As well, you can say, okay, we need training on collaboration because we are bringing all these people together, but they don't know how to work together. So then, okay, training knowledge about collaboration. Then more business knowledge. So accountant, finance, legal, entrepreneurship. So this kind of knowledge has to be there because it's not how you can create business only with a software developer, not possible. So then, you know, this kind of has to be identified, the knowledge, and then it's how you bring this to the people.
Doesn't it seem to you also very strange that we have to train people about collaboration? I mean, humans are social social animals, if you will. it should be in their DNA to how to collaborate. I mean, this is a main survival mechanism to work together, to breed and hunt and whatever. I mean, we came to this position in the big world ecosystem due to collaboration. When did we lose the capacity and then, do you see a source, or do you think that collaboration is really something new? I think it should be something old that got lost along the way.
Well, I think collaboration is very important, and I don't know if human beings are collaborative per default. I think it's very cultural, in which in some organizations or countries, they are not collaborative. So you see the huge problem in corporates, like there are a lot of silos, you know, they are not talking to each other. And this is one of the main problems of organizations. And the same is happening in Europe, in all the innovation ecosystem. They are not talking to each other. They are not connected. They are not working together. There are a lot of clubs. Closed clubs. All the accelerators are very close. They don't open the doors. They don't share knowledge. So apparently, very sad, we are now in a culture of competition. I don't know who put like innovation is equally competition. You know, you have a lot of competitions everywhere, so the people are competing to each other. And maybe it's natural to collaborate, but the society and the culture now is forcing everyone to compete. Mm. Compete for resources, compete for ideas, compete for money, funding, compete for everything, and instead of collaboration. And this is the huge problem. And yes, now we have to train because we have to change the mindset. Now they are in the mindset of competition. And we have to transform this mindset of competition in a mindset of collaboration.
Yeah.
Can I take it a step back? I wanted to go back to this idea of a conductor. You've talked about you as a conductor or a creator of an ecosystem. So, but I think we were talking a lot about agile organizations. We're talking about self-organization. So at some point there's like a conductor, but the group should be able to get on their feet on their own. And so in an ecosystem, I would think that as well, although I've seen it in different smaller ecosystems where there's a problem there's always the question of what to conduct and how to get action or movement in the ecosystem, but not to be too overbearing and then be able to be open that this, like you said, this randomness or this interaction, it comes from the group itself. How do you balance that? That paradox, I guess, as a conductor of your ecosystem.
Yeah, that's a very good question, because I believe when you create ecosystem, you have to orchestrate a lot. It's like in the desert, to have a desert to become a forest, you know, you have to make it happen. But at the same time, you have to make it happen, not one by one, but to create the fundamentals, like then people, they can do the job themselves. And this is very important, because you don't want to be there all the time like a bottleneck, or all the time like you are pushing and nothing happens, because if not, it's not a real ecosystem. So at the beginning, you have to orchestrate and to put all the structure, all the fundamentals. We can say in software, like you have all the software architecture, because then it's easier to scale afterwards. So it's the same thing for ecosystem. You have to know all the fundamentals. And when the people are interacting with each other, so they are helping each other out all the time to do all these collaborations and to think about ideas and how it's when really you create this legacy, like you make the change internally in the people, you transform them, and then they can go. But you have to make this effort to transform them and to transform, you know, from Aachen into from an industrial environment to more digital environment. There is a transformation, and this is only if you make the orchestration of this transformation. And then if it's very well done, if really you transform the people and the mindset, is when you have the legacy forever.
Okay. I have a question in there, because this trying to transform people. And we had this episode, I think 3 or 4 episodes back, where we talked just about change and transformation, how to bring it into a company. And we realized that it's really difficult if you have this approach of trying to change someone. So what is your preferred method or way how you try to set the spark, like the match that you try to enlighten in people? Because doing that by force or by doing a nice lecture won't do the job, I think. How do you get them really inspired? How do you go into transformation?
Yeah. That is very good, because that's true. Only less than 30% of the project of change management, they are successful. So I am of one of these 30% all the time. So I did a lot of transformations, now recently one, and always is the same thing. It's about leadership, one. Like passion and driven, and you have a goal and you go, and you have very clear objective, but at the same time you have to look at what are the bottlenecks, what is not working, why this is not happening, and then to talk to everyone and to understand what is the, I mean, I can bring you a case and then you can understand better. So, for instance, I will not mention names. You are in an organization. You are there as an innovation manager. No one likes innovation. Everyone hates innovation.
Oh, change.
Yeah, but that is very typical. Mm-hmm. And then people in every team, they don't talk to each other. They are not working together. Maybe if they have a stamtisch with a beer, maybe they are talking, but even there, they are in their own teams. And then you have to make them working together and to be innovative. So I started in one organization, it was like this, very silos, very hating of innovation. And some years later, when I come back, I had the question to myself. I really did a make a legacy or not? Because that was my question. You know, when you are out of the organization, you don't know what is happening when you are not there. And when I came back, I realized, like, I did it. I made the legacy. For me, that was the, okay, I know I did the transformation, but I didn't know if I made the legacy forever. And I did, because it was the only department in the whole company, like, really taking seriously innovation. Getting their own innovation manager, even if the other organization, they were not doing innovation anymore. And they were having the most innovative workplace I ever seen. And still they were doing all the activities I set up way back, years back, about bringing people together. The same name of all the activities. So for me, this, it was like, wow, really? I was crying almost of emotion. Because for me, that was my question for years, you know, like, really, I really made this or not, you know, that was still my question. And how I did that. So always you have some kind of tricks, but I think the most important is like you have to understand what they are doing. You have to listen to them individually and in groups. You have to make them trust you. They have to know like you are there for helping them, for supporting them in their jobs. You have to accept when they set boundaries as well. Then maybe you cross the boundaries other day, but you have to respect one day when they said not today. I think it's the matter of respect, but as well to say, no, we are here, we have to do this, and we will make it together. And as well to set up activities to bring people together. At the beginning, maybe they are coming 5, at the end they will come 20 or something, but you keep doing it. And you keep going to all the meetings of other teams. And at the same time, you set KPIs for innovation because they have to take care, like it's very serious stuff, innovation. So it's in the key performance indicators, in the performance review, they have innovation KPIs. So that's as well very important. And another factor is like you have to feel, or you have to make them feel the pain. And this is very important. So in the sense, for instance, I don't know, at that time it was a very, very bad workplace, very, very bad. So you can imagine in a laptop getting blue screens every 5 minutes. This is a very bad workplace. People super, employees super angry, like nothing works, you know. So the IT, or at that point, the organization was very blind to the reality. So you can do activities like the people you want to transform, they are listening to the reality with real people. And then it's when they will understand the shit is going on outside their bubble. And because they are humans, they will say, oh shit, we are making shit. So they will feel of this pain they didn't know they were creating. Because they were only looking at the screen and at the desktop, and they were talking between themselves and not to the real people. They are doing the impact.
Customers, you mean by real people?
Customers, yeah, exactly. So this is very important to set up this kind of activities in many different ways. I think we did a lot of activities of this kind. Because then is when they open the eyes. And once they open the eyes to the real situation, they will never close the eyes, never ever. And then is when you can work together with them very good on, okay, how we solve this? What are the real day priorities? You know, change the whole strategy. How we can make this happen? How we can solve this problem? You know, because then they see the problems. And they see the possibilities they can improve and they can innovate and they can do things in a different way, in this case of innovation. And this is when, you know, and you sustain, you keep listening, you keep bringing people together, you keep orchestrating, you know, collaborations, because it's how you put all these people together to create value. And this is very rewarding. If you see your work is bringing joy to people and they have a positive impact, that's super cool.
Just thought of your desert example. So if you want people to make something of the desert, it wouldn't be a bad idea if the engineers would be living in a hotel somewhere else with like everything air conditioned, but making them live in the desert and sleep
exactly.
In a tent.
They will create something super cool very fast.
They will feel the pain. Bring the pain.
I spend a lot of my time when I'm on the internet kind of listening to psychology and philosophy, and I kind of like to geek out on that kind of thing. Right now there's two philosophers that kind of, they've written two books, and they've kind of, just the titles have actually, in the corner of the internet where I hang out, they actually became like this metaphor. So one title is called The Time Between Two, The Time Between Two Worlds, which kind of describes our situation right now. And I think as a world, as a society, as a global society, I think that we feel that with digitalization, with Internet of Things, with, so much information being kind of thrown at us all the time, that there's going to be something, big changes in the world. And the second one is the more beautiful world our hearts desire. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I mean, part of the idea of ecosystem of innovation is to create something new, and that should actually suit us, right? So I want to ask you how to, you are actually on even a meta level above that. You're working didn't think it came out in the introduction, but you're working with the EU on creating ecosystems that are connecting ecosystems together. So, I mean, what would be a vision for you that a beautiful future for us?
I think it's very important to bring the psychology now. And all the books, like you mentioned, are like the metaphor of Plato at that time, you know, of the cave. And as well, the point of Matrix, you know, the film, the movie. Mm-hmm. I think we are in a point now, like we are too much on the screen. And we are losing the part of the connection with ourselves as a human beings, and as well the connection with the nature and with animals. And this is now during this pandemic, is proven, like we cannot be all the time with a screen with us, because we are not made for this. And this is like removing us from what we are as a human being. And this kind of back to innovation as a more, maybe one thing I created lately is this kind of innovation wellness. And I think maybe the future will be more this kind of spirituality innovation. You know, go beyond ourselves to be able to innovate and to have this kind of, we are one at the end. So everything we are doing has to reflect this we are one philosophy. And like the positive impact, you know, all these small things like connected, not connected, or what you are doing, what you are not doing, what makes not sense when you have this kind of more broad vision of we are one and we are all connected per default, and we have to connect more with nature and with other ways of thinking because we are one. So, and this changed completely the whole thing, how we are working and how we are interacting with people. And I think we are now entering into this new paradigm of openness, connectivity, compassion, positivity, like it's much needed. You know, like before we were discussing now competition versus collaboration. I think now we are doing into this because people stop. And in this stop, people, one part of the people connected only to screens and other part of the people connected to themselves. And then you can see the difference. And you can see already we are going step by step to this kind of question ourselves, how, which kind of life or which kind of future we want to have. And this is very important. And this is part and linked to the psychology. And one of my works is about emotional intelligence as a skill and tool you can use to design, to bring people together, to do innovation, to collaborate, and use these kind of skills. At the end, it's like knowing yourself, being resilient, how to look for solutions, you know, like to respect everyone, to be able to communicate properly. All of these things are, from psychology perspective, is emotional intelligence. And to relate this to a way we are working and how we are doing things is very important. And if we are looking at this kind of, like the books you are mentioning, so going beyond this, I think this connectivity to ourselves, to nature, is very, 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 very important. I think this is the future, or has to be the future.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, if we look to nature, I think diversity is also something that we can learn from nature. If we have, I mean, let's have a look at nature problems like soils that are not productive anymore, and this is all due to monocultural agriculture and things like that. And I think this is a similar problem with humans. So if we are going more into silos and don't have and live more in homogenic groups, then the problems arise, and we are more defending and having these nationalism movements that we see all around Europe or the globe. And I think to have the diversity could really help for people to put themselves into the shoes of one another. I mean,
yeah, I think the lack of diversity of, or maybe gender equality or equality of opportunities for everyone, is the consequence. Like, we are taking only one perspective on how we are doing things. And here, depending on the country, could be only white men, all white men, young white men. And at the rest is not there, or it's not value, or it's not taken seriously, or they don't care about what the others they have to think. They don't like differences. They always look for the same type of people to work together or to talk. So this is the problem. Like, we are too comfortable with the same people like us around us. And it's very important for innovation to have diversity of opinions, different point of views, how to be creative, you know, not always the same person with the same idea. And to say, yes, of course. No, yes, no. I mean, like, you have to create a different type of ideas. And this is the critical point. Like, sometimes the same, like with the ecosystem, you have to orchestrate gender equality or equal opportunities for everyone. So you have to orchestrate until the people, they know this is the normal and they can per se. And maybe it's not quotas, or maybe yes, whatever, but it's orchestration. Like, you force the transformation. And here is when, I don't know, in a political party or in a group or an ecosystem, you have to bring people from different backgrounds, from different point of views, perspective, from different genders, whatsoever is the gender they define, with different religions. Because when more rich and inclusive the company and the ecosystem, much better performance they have. And as well, it's nicer, like everyone respect to each other. And you can build on other, like, innovation, you know? It's, like, very funny, but it's, like, you build on ideas from others, you know? You are working together to make something happen. And
Can I pull it back real quick? Because I think you said some... you said a lot of really insightful things there. I think that one thing that stood out for me was this... it's about... I think people, a lot of times, they say, okay, we need really safety. People need to feel safe, and then they'll open up. And I think that, and then we can go about doing new projects or bringing out new ideas or being creative. And I think that sometimes the ideas of comfort or being comfortable and safety are kind of like used or synonymous. And I think that we're humans. We haven't been, comfort is not suiting us as much as we think it has. And I don't think it is providing us with safety as much as we think it would. And I think that to go on the edge and to be maybe risky, or to be also feel not in a situation, maybe not comfortable, that pushes you out of the place that you are, and that will change you. And that could be a really good thing, that you add another perspective to your view. So I think that's
a very good question. What is safe? I mean, one thing is the psychological safety, like you can speak up without any kind of criticism, you know, or punishment. And the other safe is when you are there as a completely different person from others, and you feel listened, you feel heard, you feel loved, you feel accepted, and you can work together with someone. And then it's when you have this safe environment as well for everyone, like really inclusive, accepting and respecting everyone and working together. And then the other side is when in innovation, you have to think outside the box. You cannot be comfortable. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And this is very important, because you cannot do innovation if you think everything is fine. You know, when there is the most creative opportunities mindset, work business, is when you have nothing and you have to figure out. So you have to think out of the norm. You have to think outside the box to be able to create something that's not there yet. And then is you have not to feel comfortable at all. So you have to hate your situation. You have, again, to feel the pain of, shit, what we are doing. We have to change this, you know? And the other concept you mentioned is change. I think change is not inevitable. It's inevitable. So you have to change is per default there. You know, if we see of the annual seasons, you know, they change all the time. The trees, the flowers, the things. And change is there. So I don't know I can understand why there is this fear of change, because it's the fear of unknown, it's the fear of I don't know what we'll do, or I don't want to change my comfortable life, you know, as it is. And this is what, when doing this transformation, is very important, is to understand what exactly means change for the people. And to go with them, like they are not alone, but they have to change. I mean, like if now with all this pandemic, if you don't change, you die, you know, as a company. If you don't adapt or you are not resilient enough to change, but it's the same thing when as a SME or a small company, you have to think, okay, what is killing the business now? Because of course, something is killing your business now, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, you are not in the perfect environment of a monopoly. So then it's when you have to understand where I can improve, where I can innovate, how I, and this is change. And the same for being there in the future. If you want to have an organization is 200 years old, or it's already 200 years old, and you want like this organization is 400 years old, you have to change because the world will change. So, so I think this kind of acceptance, like we are in an evolution as a human beings, the society is an evolution, constant evolution, is when you say, okay, yeah, I have to adapt. And you can call change, you can call adaptation, you have to call maybe disruption in some cases, but it's transformation.
And success can sometimes really hold you back, right? If you're on a success winning spree, then you may be blind to see change coming. I mean, we had the IBM example, IBM in the 70s or 80s, and they didn't think that their success would ever end. And so they missed out on huge changes going on in the business world and really changed way too late in their business. It's really hard thing to go back and force yourself to feel the pain again and to really embrace the crash and burn experience that you need for doing innovation, right? Because if you know that it will work, then it's not innovation.
And this is very funny. Like you mentioned IBM and other organizations like Mark Spencer, for instance, in the UK, it was like very highlight. Like, see? Why we need innovation? You need an innovation team there and close to the CEO. So this is the, you cannot sit still. I mean, like we can say not every day, maybe you can have a rest, but I mean, like you have to know what is going on. It has to be, if you cannot do, get a team to do it, you know? If you have not a team to do it, get a consultant to do it, you know, but do it. And this, yeah, this innovation mindset is very important. If you have not, hire someone who has this mindset, really.
Well, I think our time is coming to an end. Hara, this was a lovely conversation. I feel enlightened. Thank you for all your downloads. Thank you for your time. I just want to mention you also have a book that will be coming out next year, Innovation and Collaboration in the Digital Era. In the show notes, there will be links to that. Also, you have your own podcast called Business of Collaboration. I'd also want to kind of share that. And your collab with Network. I think next week will be, next month at the beginning of the new year, we'll be coming into a new topic. We'll talk with Mark Lammertz, agile coach and author of a number of books. We'll be talking to him about collaboration. No, we'll be talking to him about complexity and emergence. So stay tuned. This will be a very interesting topic. So, Hara, thank you. Thank you very much. Chris, like always, a pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Joshua. Thank you, Chris, for having me in your podcast.
Yeah.
I think it's very nice sometimes to be the other side of the podcast, not to have the questions.
Yes.
And really, I appreciate a lot, like, you were thinking of me for this conversation. Thank you very much.
Great. And I think we have a wrap, right?
Yeah, thanks for playing along. Chris, I do have a cajon. I think it would be fun to have a little drum circle sometime.
We can do that after Corona or maybe.
Yeah, exactly. In the middle of a wave.
Go in the woods and have a big fire and.